Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.
You are listening to Warm Radio.
Greetings, welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines with the Watchmen, Dana Smith, and me. I'm Tower, and we are glad you joined us as we have a great lineup for you tonight. Today is the 21st of March, 2019. The readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 6, starting at verse 8 through chapter 8, verse 36, Jeremiah chapter 7 verses 21 through chapter 8 verse 3, also chapter 9 verses 22 and 23. The New Testament portion is Mark chapter 13, starting at verse 1 through verse 37, also Hebrews chapter 8 verses 1 through 6. By going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com, you can read the latest articles by The Watchman. This week we feature Discern Times Amidst the Times. Discern signs amidst the times. The signs are evident, allowing us to discern the times in which we live. When dealing with signs, wonders, prophecy, and just plain good sage teachings from the apostles, one must pay attention. Also, Jesus Christ, blessed are you who have believed, yet not seen. So, you can read those, and also listen to the shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can listen or watch all the shows on the warn-usa.com blog. Also from Spreaker or the Spreaker app. You can listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. And you can go to warn-usa.com to get our Spreaker embed and links to all places to listen from like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. And you can follow Warn Radio on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. Our Battle Lines in-depth study of the Scripture with the Watchman Dana G. Smith. For over 21 years, the Watchman has been teaching, preaching, and warning the generations. Our study tonight continues with John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 19, on Battle Lines. Babylon the Great is a mystery, very prophetic and very dangerous. The spirit of lawlessness and uncleanness pervades who she is. It is a habitation of devils and hold of every foul spirit. It is everything that God is not. So stay tuned for more on that later. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Feel a little rushed, frazzled, kind of hectic day. But that's okay. It's all good.
Well, it is a good temperature out there now, so.
Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad winter's over.
All of that snow we got is a memory. And, you know, it's going to take quite a while for Nebraska to clean up.
Oh, I know. That's horrible.
You know, that's such a mess. But, you know, if you remember years ago, over in the floodplain on the Missouri and the Mississippi, they had massive floods. Do you remember that years ago?
Yes.
And I don't know how close that was to this, but you get over there, and there are some low floodplains, low ground, that if that river gets too high, away you go. You know, and so, you know, it can be dangerous. And, you know, I seen a video. They had an entire bridge that went, you know, probably more than one. I just happened to see the one. It was a huge bridge, too. And they were video how much water was coming down. They said, well, there goes the bridge. And then they named it, but I can't remember what it was. But it's quite a sight when you see that power rushing through there, tearing off all that steel, you know, just like they're sticks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you get caught in that, you're dead.
Oh, I know. It's horrible.
You know, so no doubt, you know, CBN covered a story today, and it's another story concerning Vimeo.
I seen that.
Yeah, and Vimeo, you know, it was a Baptist church, you know, and apparently they got to preaching on homosexuality, and they removed them because they don't allow anybody, any of the churches, to push the fact that homosexuality is a sin. So they just remove all the videos. And
that's wrong.
Well, you know, I've said this many times before. It's only a matter of time before the whore cuts everything off, or tries to, you know? And they have enough business without it. They don't need them, so they get rid of them. And, you know... I just stick to preaching the Word of God, and that's what I do. And then I get into Revelation 22 that says, let him that is wicked be wicked still, let him that is righteous be righteous still. And that's what the Lord says. Let him be righteous still, and let him be wicked still. That pertains to these end of days. Now, we tell him if we can. We tell him about the gospel. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love our lives not unto death. And, you know, and if you view the apostles didn't spend an inordinate, abnormal amount of time, you know, writing about homosexuality. They didn't do it. If you look in the entire Bible, they, you know, you have the laws against it back in Leviticus, and you have some other things, but they basically don't do it. You know, Paul talks about it in Romans, and, you know, you find a few other areas, but, you know, Paul refers to fornication more than a lot of things. And, you know, in one thing he said, you know, the marriage is defiled, but adulterers and fornicators, God will judge, or idolaters, fornicators and idolaters, God will judge, as he said. So, you know, it's really a sticky wicket when you get into it, because, you know, we're preaching a gospel, and eventually you're going to say something that makes somebody mad.
Yep, that's true.
You know, and if you get over in the Muslim nations, you know, most of the Christians over there can't say nothing. I mean, they even look cross.
Yeah, that's true.
They look cross-eyed and they're in jail, you know, or get the hell beat out of them.
Yeah, it's awful.
And so that's just the bottom line, you know. And you know, and this is the way the devil likes it. He wants the people to be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And but that isn't going to stop the judgment.
No, sure won't. Ignorance of, just like man's law, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
You know, so, you know, I've been considering cutting out Vimeo for a lot of years. And I'm just biding my time because we've got, I don't know how many now, a couple years ago or a year ago or a year and a half. Time goes by so fast.
Oh, I know.
We had like 1,300 videos on there going back years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could shut us off and take down all 1,300, 1,400, 1,500 videos in one swoop. And, of course, we've got them embedded on our site, and the way you go. So, you know, the bottom line of it is that we don't need videos. I do it as a service. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that we're in this end of days. You cannot deny. And it's just one of them things, you know. I hate to see that because I think that if these Baptist preachers want to preach that and feel led of God, let them go.
That's right.
You know, I don't have any problems with it. You know, if they make headway, more power to them.
That's
thank
right.
The Lord, you know.
Yes, amen.
But you live in a world today, and I mean a world. The only place that they don't, even China, don't care about homosexuality. North Korea doesn't either. The main nations are your Shia, your Sharia law, Muslim nations that absolutely hold that in contempt. And some of them have been changing their laws. They have. So, you know, this is, you know, and one of the reasons that a lot of this sin and iniquity is flooding into some of these nations, it's because of the internet, and it's because of the smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the teachings that are leaking in.
That's true.
So, you know. Just one of them things. So at any rate, today is the day before Friday. Yay!
Yeah, our favorite day.
Yeah, we're always ready for
Friday.
Friday. We are.
Yes, we are.
Time goes by so fast. And now that we're in the summer, we're trying to get everything taken care of. Did you get our packages delivered?
Yes.
Well, that ought to keep him in stuff.
Yeah,
for a while.
He said thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, we gave our special guest today a bunch of stuff too, so she took home stuff.
Yeah, good.
So now I can grow 200 pounds
of squash. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
It is. So at any rate, we hope everything's going good on your end. Everything is good here. We plug along every day, moving things along, writing. Don't forget that you can sign up for all of our email stuff, and it's all automated. When I put posts up, it takes those and sends them out. So be sure to sign up for that. You can get all the latest. And warn-usa and danaglennsmith.com, both of those. We have a lot of websites, and we do have some books that I wrote over on the Dana Glenn Smith site. And I've got book 2 of the Steel series we're working on right now. Let's see, what else are we doing? Well, that's enough, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
because there are a lot of things we're looking at and we're doing. And really considering this video thing and where to go, because You're really, we can do videos and upload them on our site, but they're so heavy, you need a regular site to do it. And the only other thing is to invest a lot of money and get a server and a whole thing, and we're not ready to do that because we're looking at eventually moving an office or something that we're working on. So at any rate, a lot of things going on, but sin and iniquity are not going away. So
they're abounding.
You know, well, at any rate, we had a good advocacy thing because Pastor Paul, who with Bibles for the Mideast, he wrote a good parable, and I like to see that.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, and it was simplicity, and it was really good. You can hear that on our advocacy one. Tower read that. Of course, Bibles for the Mideast is just one of many that we kind of keep track of what's going on, you know, as far as people coming to the Lord or what's happening with the persecution of Christians. So at any rate, tonight we are in Revelation. We're going to be looking at Babylon, which is, you know, when you're talking about Revelation, the letters to the churches are always important. And then, of course, people always look at the different bowl judgments. Revelation 13 is really important to real popular. And, of course, Revelation 17 and 18 are really, really popular. And, of course, we're looking at Babylon tonight. And it does say mystery. You know, if you've ever watched a mystery, you got to wait till the end of the show to figure it out.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's true.
Well, it does say mystery. Well, we know, Tower and I know what a mystery is. And you never, sometimes you get a little clue, but most of the time, the mystery is not solved to the end of the show. But in this case, God gave us a few hints. It's called prophecy, and so we can look at it. And but still, it's a mystery. Today, as Americans, we think we know everything, so it's not uncommon for people that are interpreting Revelation, all the Bible, to know absolutely everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, okay, well, whatever. You know. And I studied under Dr. Ward Williams, you had to know everything there. The questions went anywhere from 400 to 600. That was the test.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, you had to get a lot right if you wanted to get an A in that class. Because you had, 600, 400. I mean, it was like, that was the first time I ever was in a class with a doctor like that. And he helped us out, too, when we were working in ministry in the beginning. He did die. He does have a son out there. I did see another Williams out there.
Really?
And I was thinking that he was Ward Williams. I may be mistaken in that, but at any rate, time goes by so fast.
Oh,
we
man.
Were just wet behind the ear kids, and all the kids were small when we were in Bible school so many years ago. Just goes by so fast.
When you wonder where it went.
You know, now I got people that want to open the door for Tower and I.
Yeah,
they look
right.
At me like I'm an older version of Santa Claus. I'm not that bad.
No, you're not.
But I spent all my years chefing in the restaurant and catering many years ago. Now I don't wear ties and I don't shave. So I trim a little bit. But all these young kids, you know, we talk to, you know, they just seem so young.
Oh, no, just like babies.
And then yesterday at the club where we were, you know, they get these little kids in there. I call them little kids. Maybe they're junior. I don't know what they are, but they're just so small. I mean, how'd you get in here? And they were working weights and doing all this stuff and running around on the track ahead of Tower and I. And I thought, you know, these are just like, you know, where's their babysitter?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just little, you know, and they're just like, how old are you anyway?
Yeah.
You know, are you still on Pablum? You know, but they're probably, you know, 14, 15.
I don't know. They didn't look that old, dear.
Oh, how would you know? You don't know.
I'm a good judge.
You are not.
Sure I am.
I judge character. I mean, I judge ages like this, young and old. It's easy that way. 50% chance of getting it right or wrong.
Yep, that's true.
And then, of course, if I don't delineate what old is, you know, when I was 30, the kids in school thought that was old. When you reach 30, you're over the creek, you know. You're up the hill, down the road. So, well, at any rate, we got to do this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. So today we are Babylon the Great, and I really do, I love Revelation, I do. It has a lot in it for what I call end time marching orders, and Babylon the Great is one of those mysteries, and of course if you look in Babylon of old, it was a city-state. But there's something about this one that really is amazing. And as we go through it, we're gonna cover. And so, at any rate, but first we want to discuss the burden of the Lord a little. In Isaiah 30:27, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. Now that's, you know, Isaiah. And of course, he was a prophet, just like Jeremiah was. Jeremiah was later. But, you know, when the Lord gives something to a prophet to do, to warn the people, it becomes a burden. And when we look in Revelation, we see John actually tasted a book, and the angel told him, in your mouth it'll taste like honey, but it'll make your stomach bitter. And that's what the burden of the Lord is. When you receive the call and the burden, it's sweet in your mouth because the Lord is talking to you. The Lord has revealed something to you and given you something. But it is sour because it deals with judgment. It's harsh. It's, and your body don't like it. Believe me, you know you go through it, but yet you have almost like this rejection in your body saying, well, you know, if you do that, they'll get mad. And of course, your flesh is weak. So it's kind of interesting, but there is such thing as a burden of the Lord. And all the prophets and even the apostles, you know, and many Christians, you know, when they're called to do something, pastors can even have a burden, very, very much so. Not just a burden like to go on the mission field, but a burden that the Lord has given them and a message that they have to give. Jeremiah 23, and we'll go through a few verses here, 33 through 36. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask you, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? You shall say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. Now this is interesting, because in this case, the people wouldn't listen. So the Lord is saying, okay, when they ask you, you know, and they would ask him just to mock him, because they wouldn't pay attention. You know, well, what's the message of the Lord? And, you know, what's it doing? Well, they don't care what the message is. They're just mocking him because they're not going to listen anyway. And so he says, when they ask you this, you'll say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I'll even punish that man in his house. So, you know, they're going to get punished just for saying it, because they're making fun of the calling of the prophet himself, and the message. And verse 35 says, thus shall you say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what hath the Lord answered and what has the Lord spoken? Verse 36, and the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God and of the Lord of hosts, our God. And of course, this is Judah. See, they did have other prophets that was opposed to Jeremiah. So when he went in there, you know, from the high priest all the way to the prophets and the king, none of them believed him. And of course, I believe absolutely Jeremiah had a group of people that knew the truth there. But, you know, it was a burden, and it was tough, and it got so bad with Jeremiah that there he came to a point that he says, well, I'm not going to speak anymore. And the Lord eventually, didn't take long before the Lord told him to repent, and he repented, and he said that he couldn't hold back because of the word of the Lord that was burning in his bosom, and he had to speak it. But the children of Israel at the time, what they wanted him to do is speak smooth things, nice things, kind of like we have, you know, in the churches today. We want to speak nice, wonderful, fuzzy things, nice, light things, things that, you know, when you're dealing with sin, you have to deal with the sin. And, of course, we talked a little earlier about Vimo. They've done this before. And it's been over homosexuality, both of them. So we know that at Vimo, there's a bunch that are caught up in that lifestyle. We know they are. I mean, that's just the way it is. Because that's, in both the cases, they were pretty good ministries that were doing it. And they cut them off. Well, you know, that's okay. I could tell them where to find a Christian. There are Christian video purveyors that do the same thing as Vimo. You don't see many of them. Revelation, let's go to Matthew 11:28. The Lord says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And here we look at the Messiah had a burden himself. He had to come and bring the word. But see, he was anointed to do these things, and he could carry the burden, even all the way to the cross. And of course, the one thing we remember is him praying before he went, and he prayed so hard he was sweating blood. But, you know, this is part of the way it works, you know. I mean, the burden may seem heavy, the task impossible, but through prayer and the grace of God, you can make it, because the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Revelation 2:21, and a few verses here. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I'll give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as not have this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I'll put upon you no other burden. Now you see, this particular judgment is on Thyatira. And of course, and he just flat told him, he says, you know, I have given you a chance to repent, but you did not repent. Now see, this thing is evident today. It's evident today in the world. It's evident with America. Whether it doesn't matter what you think Babylon is. Babylon is the one, chief one, that feeds this abomination out. And here, he says, I will cast her into tribulation and commit adultery with her, except they repent. And he says, I will kill her children with death. That's all those that follow this particular thing. And the churches then will know that it's God that did it, and it'll put what we call the fear of God in them, and maybe they'll all repent and get straight. and a good healthy bit of judgment. And you know, I've heard it said by other preachers a time or two, you know, if God would shoot a bolt of lightning down about a foot from where they stood all the time, every time they got really out of line, maybe people would pay a little more attention. You know, in other words, sometimes you have to hold their feet close to the fire, and sometimes you have to make hell appear right next to them in order to get them to understand what you're doing is going to lead you to death. But the interesting part about Thyatira is that he says, as many as that do not have this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, I'll put none other burden upon you. See, so there, this tells us that even in a supposedly dead church, not everybody necessarily would hold that doctrine. And I've said this before. I said, just because it may have be a church that you think is adulterous or whorish or whatever, it doesn't mean they're all like that. It doesn't mean they're all going to hell. It means that God deals with people individual. And that's why you got to understand that there are people in many denominations, many places, who have a personal relationship with the Lord. And you may think, well, you know, there are this or there are that. You know, you could be very wrong and mistaken about it. And the Lord points out here in this example of Thyatira, this particular church or this place here, they had definitely did not repent. And they had turned away from the Lord. But there were some of them that never turned away. They didn't know the depths of Satan. And see, this is a phrase that I use a lot. There's a depth of Satan. People today sometimes want to get into that. And of course, you get into witchcraft, you get into some of the dark things of Satanism. Of course, they want to get into it. You have some of the former priests that became saved. Over the years, I've heard a number of them and their testimony of what went on. But, you know, there is a depth. And, you know, one of the things that society tries to do is take your kids at an early age and destroy their innocence and get them to see the depths of Satan and darkness in order to destroy them. Because once you get that kid trained at a kid, you got him the rest of your life, unless the Lord intervenes. So what we're dealing with here is, you know, we have, whether you think, you know, the judgment's coming tomorrow or next week or whenever, the nations are going to be held accountable. And the Lord, he deals with nations, he deals with people, he deals with individual people, and he gives them a space to repent. And when they don't, there's hell to pay. Now, Revelation. Chapter 1, no, 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and all the merchants of earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. In these two verses we have a lot, but yet we don't have a lot. Many people want to know, well, who is it? You know, is it the UK? Well, at one time, as I've said this before, Babylon, Mystery Babylon itself, was viewed upon as being the UK. This was, matter of fact, I even have it in my pulpit commentary, a very popular old commentary that goes back to a long time. I think it was the 1800s. But at any rate, there's many people think America is Babylon the Great. And when you go through it and you see everything that it has, there's a lot of things that really limit it to what it can be if we look currently. Now, if we look at the aspect of this, as we do with Paul's Man of Lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that individual has to be revealed. When he comes, he has to be revealed. He comes out of the sea, you know, when we talk about the beast coming up, rising out of the sea, he also, until he rises out of the sea and is revealed, you're not going to know who he is. So a lot of this stuff has to do with timing, and it has to do with exactly where this is. Now, this angel is saying Babylon the Great is fallen. Now, there's a couple of things here when we look at fallen. Babylon the Great is going to fall, but it's going to fall a little later. Now, in this section, it's telling you what it is. So this could absolutely be describing the later part when it talks about that it is absolutely fallen. But why did it fall? What was it before? Well, see, this is the thing we have today. Babylon the Great, without any doubt, would have to be a society that was common in the world of which it was operating. And it was a great, great empire. Of course, Babylon, though, see, this is again where we run into trouble. We want to think of Babylon the Great as being a nation. Well, Babylon the Great in the Old Testament was a city-state. It was not a nation, per se, like you take all of Persia. It ruled a vast portion, but the city itself is where the seat of power was. Now, it says, is fallen, and the interesting part is, it says it's become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, that those phrases there, all three of those, the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all of those describe the darkness and the spirit of uncleanness that has encompassed this place. Now, you can find within the judgment that happens in the Old Testament, the Lord sending a spirit of uncleanness through, allowing it to go through a particular nation because of the way it is. So when we look at this, we see that within this, these devils, these foul spirits, and these unclean and hateful bird. Now let's put it this way. If you had a nation, or let's say a city-state, that was serving the Lord God, and they were doing everything they should have done, and they were in right standing with God, it would not be a habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The reason it is a habitation, the reason it is a hole, the reason it is a cage, is because these unclean spirits, every one of them, that's what these things are, these things have found a place of rest. Now, when you check the Gospels out, and the Lord talks about when the spirit goes out of an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he walks through the dry places. He's looking for another soul to get into, another body to enter in. And when he is cast out, he will go take seven others and bring them back with him, see if he can get back in. And then if you allow him back in by doing the same old thing, then your state is worse than the first. So make no mistake, in the spirit world, these spirits, these devils, and all these others, and you might want to know, well, how do they know? Well, they go by, your emotional state that is reflected in your spirit. And that is also comes out of your heart. It's a heart attitude. And if you, are inclined to do certain activities that are known as uncleanness and everything, then these things are going to be attracted to you because you're doing the thing, and they can sense that in the spirit world, and they come around you all the time because they want to be near you. They do not want to be around a Christian that's on fire and praying all the time, especially rebuking these things. And so when you do get thoughts that are unclean, when you do get things that aren't right, these are the ones that come by every once in a while to try to cause trouble for you. And if you will rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ, you rebuke the thought, you rebuke the spirit behind the thought, you rebuke, I even rebuke the flesh for even considering or thinking about it or listening. I rebuke everything in the name of Jesus Christ and cast it into outer darkness. I do that all the time. When it comes around. But you're going to find out that some of these thoughts ain't going to bother you as much. Most of these things, I can tell you that if you're on fire and if you're where you need to be, these things don't want to be around you. And if they are, then you want to check out your spiritual life and your prayer and your adherence to the Word of God and things like this. But Babylon the Great is one that it changed its laws. And it accepted these things. Now, you see, in the times past, and we can go back to when Tower and I were kids, a lot of the things that we're doing today that we accept were never done. And there were a few people that did certain things in private. They kept them to themselves. They didn't allow it to get out because it was considered anathema. And if you ever want to find out, if you can find it, go back to the 1800s or earlier and try to find an old dictionary, something, and look up some of these terms, like sodomy. You can find out what it says. Now today, you can't even talk to anybody about it because we absolutely believe that it's okay. Now, see, in Revelation 22, the Lord says this about this generation. He says, he that is unclean or wicked, let him be unclean or wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. There's a number of comparisons there in Revelation 22, and you'll recognize it immediately. So if they're wicked, the Lord says, let them be wicked still. If they're righteous, let them be righteous still. And the reason he does it is because he's coming back soon, he says, and I will give to every man according as his work shall be. Now, this is what the Lord says about this end times. He also says that because sin and iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Paul calls it perilous times and describes over 20 things. I think it's 20 different things that are classified as perilous and that make up what perilousness is for the end days, including a massive amount of sexual immorality of all kind. So we're talking about a country that suddenly, you know, at one time they were okay. At one time they didn't do these things. At one time these spirits would never be inhabiting the land the way they are. Now, and so slowly the laws get changed, people's attitudes change, so they begin doing regularly the things that were once forbidden. And it's not just sodomy, folks. If you think homosexuality is the major sin in America, no. Matter of fact, if you go back to Sodom and Gomorrah and you check out, and you can find this in the prophets, about Sodom and Gomorrah and the judgment, and it was addressed to Israel and your sister Sodom, you know, pride was the first thing mentioned. Because when you have pride, you can't talk to them about anything else. Doesn't matter what they're doing. Pride is one of the worst sins that you can have, and we've got a lot of that in America. We got a lot of it around the world. Pride. Erdogan has a lot of pride. He recently was on a, I think he did a story for a newspaper back, another liberal out east. I just seen the title, and then. You get into China. China came out too this week. They have a lot of pride. Of course, they persecute Christians, and they close down huge churches. Right now, they have a resurgence of the Maoist tendencies towards churches. So all these things are happening. Make no mistake about it. So Babylon the Great is one that has now become the habitation of devils with every unclean spirit, and it has a lot of things in it that makes it unclean, that makes it a habitation of uncleanness and devilish and foul. I remember a preacher one time, many, many years ago, I was talking to him, I was going to interview him, and in one of the pre-interviews I did with him, he had, and it was about him actually dying, and he went, his spirit went before the Lord, where he was warned about certain things he was doing. It scared him to death, and he changed. He says on the way there, he crossed a vast plain. I mean, it was darkness. And he says it was so dark you could feel it. And he said, I've seen all these spirits there. Things I've never seen, I could never describe because they were so horrible. Every shape, every size, everything. He says it was unbelievable. And, I wanted to say, well, what did they look like? And he says, I'm not even going to go into it. He says, I have even thinking about it, I have trouble sleeping because it was so horrible. So when you think about darkness, imagine a darkness. And this is the kind of darkness that even came over Egypt when Moses was coming up against Pharaoh. It was a darkness that is so dark you could feel it. It actually was so dark that it caused pain. It had more than just darkness. It was full of darkness, full of spirits that were dark. It was a very, very uncomfortable feeling. And that same kind of thing I've heard from numerous death experiences from people who came back and eventually came to the Lord. So Babylon, it has this darkness covering it. Now, one of the ways that you can have this, too, is through blood guilt, because blood will actually pollute the land if you have innocent blood that's shed. For instance, you have a lot of murders on your street and a lot of other things, like abortion, like we do. There's a lot of innocent blood. And then you have pride, and you have people on the streets, women, usually feminists, that, I'm glad that, I had an abortion. I've seen one where she had 4 or 5 abortions and she was happy. And see, this is all murder. And whether you agree, it doesn't matter. You know, the bottom line, it's murder. You know, that's what it is. You're killing a life. Now, see, while the womb belongs to the mother, she would not have that body if it wasn't for God who created that body and put her spirit in it. And so she becomes pregnant. The womb, again, is hers, but it all operates by what God had ordained. And then when you take the kid and kill it, you're killing God's child. That is God's. That's not yours. It's not yours to kill. But you can't tell the nation this. See, we'll go out and we'll save the whales. We'll save the seals. We'll save the wolves. We'll save anything. We'll save the trees. We'll save the mountains. We'll save everything. We want to stop carbon, so we'll kill everybody on Earth so we can live longer and we won't have so many humans breathing out carbon dioxide. I mean, this is how stupid we are in this world. So the deception is big. Now see, Babylon the Great is one that nurtures it, one that was a great kingdom and suddenly became this habitation. And it happens. And it says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now see, this is where we run into trouble when we start thinking about a lot of things. For instance, when the Dark One comes, the beast, he's got 3.5 years. And we've covered this in past ones, but it's about 3.5 years. And in 3.5 years... you're not going to take a nation that is worthless and make it into something where it is. You've got to have something to start with. Now, if we consider that Babylon the Great is a city-state, it could be any city, including New York City, because they've got the United Nations. And that's one that a lot of people target when they're looking at it. Others will just say, well, it's America. But those are kind of pat answers. Because America itself, yeah, it has a lot of sin. But see, America is also responsible for sending out a lot of things that you would classify as sin. And so now that we've got the internet, now that we've got satellite, now that we have all these things, we can produce. And I talked about this years and years and years ago. You know, that the filth that we can pump out from Hollywood, that we can pump out from our magazines like Playgirl and all the rest of this stuff. Playboy doesn't even exist. Hefner's daughter was actually going to make it a different kind of a magazine. I don't know. I don't look at the stuff, so I don't know what they're doing now. But I can guarantee you porn is not going away. Not a lot of this stuff ain't going away. This is like sugar. These people, you know, I mean, I remember we have a porn house down here, and I was going by it one day, and I was going to curse it, and the Lord said, it's already cursed, you know, and it is. The people in there, that's a curse, all of that. It makes uncleanness. It causes people to do things that are unclean and totally against God, and so these people need to be redeemed. These people need salvation. And you don't want Vimo to keep kicking off churches? Those kids need to be saved, folks. You know how many generations that we've been teaching your children that sex any way you want it is okay? You know, we've been kicking out God out of the classroom, you know, and teachers that speak about God. We've been doing this all along, and I mean the Lord our God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about any other God. And, of course, you know, now that, you know, and Pat Buchanan talked about this, too, today in an article, talking about the way America was and what has been happening. He was talking about the immigrants, how they came over to America, and how there was a time when a bunch of immigrants came in, I think they were Irish, that there was a real big backlash. And so they stopped getting them in until the immigrants became more Americanized, and once it became Americanized, then they opened up the borders. And then they started allowing everybody in, saying it'd be okay. But see, Buchanan pointed out, there's not a nation on earth that allowed every race, every creed, every color, and every religion to become part of their nation and made them just like that nation. That's impossible. It'll never happen. So when you get a nation like America and you have it full of Muslims, you have it full of Christians, you have it full of Hindus and everything else, they're not going to be cohabitable together. The nation is going to fall. And right now, the nation is falling because we've got our borders open. And today they were talking about the fact that when ICE and you know, when the Border Patrol catches these people, they don't even bother to do anything. They just let them go and say, show up at this hearing. Because ICE is so overwhelmed. The system is so overwhelmed, they have nowhere to put the people. That's how bad it is. And so, see, this is what happens. This is how a nation falls. So when you look at Babylon the Great, she has now become a place where all these devil, all these habits, all these spirits don't feel out of place. So it becomes that place they want to dwell in. It becomes a hold, a place that they can go and be safe. And they're not going to be cast out. It can be like a cage, a place where they can go in and they can just do their own thing and nobody will bother them because they can't go anywhere else. These things cannot operate in some of these other nations. But they can operate well in America. Some of these devils and everything, there's other devils that operate, for instance, in Iran. And they're killing and slaughtering, but they operate a different thing. And this is the problem you have. We get into a mindset when we talk about what is unclean. And you don't understand that this whore that has this, who's riding the beast, is actually a cup full of every kind of abomination. So you would have one kind of abomination or two or whatever, a bunch, like in America. You would have some other abominations that would be found in, for instance, in Iran or Saudi Arabia or some of these others, or in China or in Japan, because they're comfortable there. So you've got this spirit, this huge spirit that pumps out all of these uncleanness, and the world drinks it up. But what these things like to use is a vessel, and the best vessel for it is the Western nations. And of the Western nations, America by far has been the best vessel to promote totally uncleanness and godlessness like we've never seen. In one breath, you know, we talk about Christianity and how many churches we have and pastors and all this other, and the next breath we're talking about all the abortions they want to do and now killing children up, kids fresh out of the mother's womb. We talk about all the murders on the streets of Chicago and New York. We're talking about so many things in America, as well as all the total blatant uncleanness that we're doing here that we pretend it's okay. And, you know, this is the way this place is today. And because sin and iniquity abound so much, the love of many begin to wax cold. And as they wax cold, this other stuff is able to increase more. Well, what does the Lord say about this? And this is one thing you need to pay attention to, verse 4 and 5. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And we'll get into the reward in a minute. But you see, I heard another voice, not just, a voice saying that Babylon is fallen. Babylon the Great, the greatest thing that had all of this stuff within her and all these devils' uncleanness that had influenced the world, and everybody in the world became rich through her. What nation does that sound like? America. Yeah, it does. I mean, you can't get away from it. Because if you go back even to World War II, Europe was losing to Hitler. Europe today would be under the rulership of Hitler's thousand-year Reich if it wasn't for America getting involved. Because we defeated the Japanese, and then we went over and helped defeat, because of the invasion at Normandy, defeat Hitler. And then when it was all done, Europe was in shambles. It was like stones on the street. There was no cities. It was a mess because of all the bombs. America helped rebuild this. And then if you get into look at what ISIS, for instance, did through Syria and Iraq, what did they leave? Stones. And today the news came out, Fox News reported it, that the last stronghold of ISIS has fallen. But see, has ISIS gone away? No. The thing that they believed, there's Muslims everywhere that believe this. They believe they're going to rule the world, folks. There's prophecies regarding this. Both the Sunnis are looking for a caliphate because there's a prophecy, and the Shia are looking for the Mahdi because there's a prophecy. That's what they're working towards. You think Iran wants peace? They don't want peace. They would blow up the world to get the Mahdi in here. This is how detrimental it is. And that's also the deception you have over in their end of it. This is the uncleanness. It's not just in America, but a lot of this stuff has pumped out of this place. But where did America get that uncleanness? From the beast. The devil. And I heard another voice from heaven. Come out of her, my people. Come out. Come out. Why? So you're not a partaker of her sins, you receive not of her plagues. Now, if you're a Christian today, and you have received him, and you've asked him to forgive you, and you're walking in his ways, like, for instance, John, 1 John chapter 1 says this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Fellowship. Christ walked in the light, we have to walk in the light. And when we walk in the light as Christ walked, we have fellowship. And that fellowship enables a cleansing all the time of our sins. Because we're walking in Him. Now see, you're living in the last days where sin and iniquity will abound and the love of many will wax cold. So then you begin to wax cold. Well, what happens when you wax cold? Well, read the letters to the seven churches. Look at Laodicea. It's a perfect type for the days that we live in. You think you're rich and in need of nothing? And don't know that you're wretched, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy me of gold tried in fire. That's tribulation, folks, in case you're not aware. At towards the end of that, he stands at the door and knock. He says, if you'll open the door and open it, I'll come into you and we'll sup with you. You know, I will come in. Well, see, that particular scripture has been used time and time again by people to, talk to unbelievers about open the door of their heart and Christ will come in. But it's not addressed to them. It's addressed to the church. That is the door that he's outside of. He's not in the church. He's outside the church, pounding to get in, knocking. Hey, come, open the door. But they don't want to open it. Do you see any answer there? Does it say, well, I'm glad you let me in? No, he leaves it in that thing. He's knocking on the door. There's a choice. So you have to make up your mind. But see, when you look at this and you understand what the Lord is saying here, there's Babylon the Great, but you know, you don't have to worry about Babylon the Great. Why? Because all the nations have drunk of it. See, and we focus on Babylon the Great, but it's all nations, folks. They're all like this now. You're not going to be sick. You can't run off anywhere. Where are you going to go? Canada? They're as bad off as we are. You go down to Mexico, you get yourself murdered before you know it. There's nowhere to go. You got to be found in Christ. And he says, come out of her, my people. Now that phrase literally means to come out of Babylon. So if we think of Babylon as being a city-state, then you would leave the city-state. Well, how do we know which one it is? Well, it's hard to tell. But there's only one, and as we read it, we'll get into it. It's the one that rules over the kings of the earth. Which city has that power today? Well, there's a number of them. If you think economically, many people think that up in the UK, there's a certain block where the Rothschilds are, and have a lot of money, and this were the banking systems. But see, what happened was now all your banking systems and all the internet are all digitalized and they're all controlled, but not by us. I mean, even the Fed. I remember years ago reading a report where the Republicans tried to find out, and this was during the time of Ron Paul even, he might have put them up to it, but they were trying to find where all the money went that went into the Fed. And they lost it over in Europe somewhere. They could never find out where all the money went. Nobody knows. And America pays a high premium to get money that's free because we're in debt now. Who do you think's going to claim it one of these days? You think someone's just going to forgive your money? No, they're not. One of these days, the bill's going to be due. One of these days, they're going to say, okay, we're cutting you off. It's done. And that will be the time they'll want to take over. But see, Babylon the Great, if we look at New York, New York has the UN, which rules over the kings of the earth. Yeah, you could say New York. You could say the economic one over in the UK. But you could also say Brussels, Belgium. Because that's one that's come up years ago. We all thought Brussels, Belgium was a good point. Others believe that it's Rome because of Rome being mentioned. And that's where the beast will be, Rome. And of course, Rome is where the Roman church is, the harlot church. But see, everybody just, well, that's a Catholic church. If you think the Catholic church is the harlot by itself, you're wrong. They got a lot of things that ain't right, but there's a lot of harlot churches. There's a lot. Now, So how are you going to come out? Well, you're not going to do the things that they do. But see, you don't want to be a partaker of her sins. And if you stay there, the plagues are going to hit the whole country or the whole city state. So you don't want to be there. In that case, you want to get out. And that's why I've said before, I said when America is going to fall, eventually, it's going to fall. And when it does, you don't want to be here. You don't. And some of the listeners over the years, you know, I told them also, I'm on record saying that if you're in the city, get out. You'll have a better chance. But you're going to have to be hid. And this is where you're going to have to be supernaturally hid as well. Because these are going to be perilous times. Very perilous times. And so it's not at all hard to believe that within this falling of Babylon the Great, if we saw it as, say, all of America, how it could fall. But see, whether America is Babylon the Great or not really doesn't matter, because there is judgment coming to this nation. And one of the points that we see is when Israel is attacked in this, and we've talked about it, they're going to attack America. And they will attack America too, and it won't just be the Muslims, it will be major powers like Russia and China. And they will attack, and that will keep America busy so they can destroy Israel. Now, Israel has been friends with Putin, Netanyahu has, and China has also tried to do a lot of investment, even in Israel. So China itself is kind of hard to see, but when we look at the armies of the East, she's going to move, and she's going to come to Jerusalem. And then in verse 4 and 5, it says, verse 5, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled to her double." So, you have a cup, and instead of having, you know, a reasonable amount, you fill it all the way up. You actually get double the amount. And so this is talking about rewarding Babylon the Great double unto her double. Or in other words, that's four times. So the judgment is going to be four times as bad as any other judgment. By the time this thing comes, there isn't going to be enough left of Babylon to do anything. Of course, if we read a lot of the prophecies concerning Babylon of old and how it was supposed to be destroyed, you know, that's bad enough. But this is four times, which is even worse. So this, you know, when this happens, you know, and because we see the fact that it says Mystery Babylon, it doesn't necessarily refer to it as a city like in the Old Testament, because it is mystery. It's a mystery. And the fact that she has all of these spirits that are filling her, it could easily be and it is anyway, you know, the spirit of Babylon that has filled the nations. Now see, she has a big cup, so not everything that comes out of Mystery Babylon is going to be in every nation, because she has all kinds of abominations. One of them was given to Isis, And ISIS went through the Middle East and slaughtered every Christian and Muslim that didn't want to follow the way they said thing. And they killed Yazidis. And they raped women. And they cut kids in half. And they killed little girls. And, you know, the whole nine yards. We, you know, I reported on this the whole time, you know. I stopped shortly after 2015. About 2016 is when I stopped covering it because they had pretty much come to their end. They were still there, but they weren't doing any more. And that cup is just as damnable as what's happening in America. It was horrific. And they reveled in it. And they were also drinking Christian blood. They were eating the hearts out of Christians. And these are reports that we got live from the field because an imam had told him that you'll get a life instantly, you know, in paradise if you eat the heart out of a Christian, which is actually goes back to a lot. Even the Indian tribes did the same thing. We've got the Crow Heart Butte out here. And that's what happened when two chiefs fought and the winning chief ate the heart of the other one. I mean that's... That's one of the things. You know, the heart is considered sacred in the soul of the person. Even hunters, there's hunters today that when they kill their kill, they will eat the heart and they will take a bite out of it raw. You know, that just... There's things I don't think our society is prepared for. Lord knows I wasn't prepared to cover that for... As long as I did, I was so sick of bloodshed and what they and the stuff they were doing that, you know, and they didn't care what church you were in. It didn't matter. If you were in a church, if you had Jesus Christ anywhere, if you adhered to him, no matter what your denomination was, they were going to burn your church, take everything out. They were going to take down the crosses and get rid of them, and they were going to kill you. Period. They don't care who you are. They just tell you one thing, you know, you got to follow us or we're going to kill you. And a lot of them never got to leave. They were killed where they knelt. And so this Babylon is rewarded four times, double for her double. And it says, how much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Now see, that phrase, I sit a queen, am no widow and shall see no sorrow. That's what a lot of these nations, we can see them saying the same things. The Tower of Babel, you know, the Lord stopped that. During the flood, it was so bad that it repented God he had made man. Sodom and Gomorrah, they couldn't find enough righteous, so that was destroyed. Nineveh repented, but 70 years later, Nahum writes a prophecy warning them, they were destroyed. Babylon, who invaded Israel and took them captive after 70 years, of course, Israel was able to be went back into the land, some of them. But eventually she fell. And the Lord told the children of Israel who were in Babylon, let Jerusalem come to mind and get out of there. Get out of Babylon. And so when we look back, Noah got in the boat to get away from the judgment. And he rode it through, but he was still safe, sealed in by the finger of God. Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his family were told to leave, and they left. They were said, don't look back. His wife looked back, and she was in trouble. And the Jews were told in Babylon to get out. Biblically, when we look and it says to get out, people, there's a tool, there's something that God provides for them to get out. In Noah, it was a boat. In Lot, it was an angel who told him where to go, how to get out. Nineveh repented, so they didn't have to worry about it. That's the easy way to go. But see, you're reaching a point now with this one. There is no repentance. There's not going to be any repentance. And of course, with Mystery Babylon, of course, by now, you have the beast at the helm, and the beast is not going to relinquish anything. And this letter is not addressed to the Antichrist or the beast, not addressed to his minion, what we call the false prophet. It is addressed to Christians to let you know what is going on. See, there's no repentance. The nations are not going to repent, folks. Now, there's not going to be massive repentance in these last days. I don't care what these guys tell you. Now, you can have localized, move of God in repentance. But you're entering into the days of judgment. Of course, I would love wholesale repentance. I mean, that's my, I'm all for that. But it ain't going to happen. Now see, she sits a queen, and she is no widow, and she shall see no sorrow. Now see, that's a thing that actually can go back. All of this dates back into the Old Testament as well. Because when judgment hit Israel, or any nation back then, when the trouble, all the men went to war, and the women, if their husband died, became widows. And all their young men got killed as well. And of course, some of the judgments that are described against Israel are pretty severe and pretty black and white, even cannibalism that we read. And so it's not a pretty picture. We're so civilized, we don't think nothing like this is going to happen. But if we ever did get that war to end all wars, God help us. Because there won't be anybody else to help us. And then verse 8, it says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God her judges her. Now see, this is a place that literally people have made a lot of money on. They have gotten rich off of her. They've enjoyed the relationship, and you can say, when we look at the qualities of this nation, there's really only one nation on earth right now that fits this description. Nation, not a city state. It's America. There's no other right now, no other as big, as blessed, that has so much sin, so open about it, where, if certain things were considered immoral, these unclean spirits wouldn't be here. Not in this where they find refuge here. No. Because when you have a revival, you kick them out, not only out of the people, but out of the land. Because everybody turns away from that, and these things leave, because it's torment if they stay. So they're attracted to a man's heart and their emotions for sin and lust and every other thing. And if you're not like that, they're not going to like that. Now see, they may try to attack you and do all kinds of things, but see, the Lord says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And as long as Christ came in to sweep out that heart of yours, and you've received him and has his spirit, these things can't do anything to you. And even if you think, if you've got tormenting dreams and all this, you don't need to put up with that. I'm telling you. You know, we haven't been trained this stuff. But I know. I know. And so you need to know. And that's, Well, I don't believe America is Mystery Babylon. Well, more power to you. I don't care whether you do or not. I'm going through this telling you what the facts are that we see. It's a mystery. There are people who think that they know. I've heard almost all of the stuff, and right now, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to look around the world and see, what's going on. But I can tell you that if America ever fell, I can tell you one thing the world ain't going to have, and that's all these Christian ministries that are based here. And make no mistake, there's Christian ministries around the world. The UK, Canada, Ireland, there's a lot of them that we have on a list. They're around the world. In the western part of the nation. So if something happens to America, the biggest ones, well-financed, they're everywhere. You're going to see a whole It just won't even be funny. Won't even be pathetic how bad it'll be if America was to fall. Yeah, there's a lot of sins to go around in this country, more than we care, and that's why that matches too. But dear God in heaven, there is a lot of good that's done through a lot of these ministries, and there's also non-religious entities in this country that help out. And they help out people all over the world. America gives money. You're Washington that's so divided, the Democrats spend a lot of money and time putting up borders around the world. I talked about that a few shows ago, about the border the Democrats okayed. Forgot where it was now. Over in some foreign country, they put a lot of money up to put a border out. They won't put a border on this country, but, and Obama wanted money for a border, and they voted that in, but Trump, because they hate him so much, they ain't gonna put a border up there. America be damned, full speed ahead. We hate that sucker. We ain't gonna give you nothing. You want a border? Pack rocks, buddy. That's the division in America, but yet they give money overseas. They give money around the world. They always have, always will, as long as I've known it, and you too, if you've been paying attention. So this thing goes down. Yeah, there are going to be some people weeping. When this thing goes down, you're going to see a stream of illegals going across that border down south faster than you could shake a stick at. It did the same thing in Babylon. Babylon was rich of old in the Old Testament. Nineveh did the same thing. When you get these big influential nations, everybody goes into them for commerce reasons and economics. They got to make a living, so that's where they go. But when they fall, boy, they go shit right out of there. Shoo! Down the road they go. And that's the way it is. So this thing's going to happen quick, in one day, 24 hours. Now see, of course, we've got that old thing that people say, well, a day isn't a day. Well, this is a day. And one day is mentioned three times in verses 8, 17, and 19. And this is going to be a day of judgment. Now, some people believe this is a duration of time, as I've said just a minute ago. But when I see this, I see the emphasis on quick. And that quick, in God's understanding, may be longer than 24 hours, but it'll be quick nonetheless. A day, meaning a duration of time that comes quickly, because once it starts falling, once you're in the middle of judgment like this and all hell breaks loose and there's no place to get food, your stores are all bare, one day will seem like a month. There's no food. There's no gas. There's nowhere to run. Your major cities are on fire. Your ports have no ships. People are leaving across every border they can get, and the other nations are scrambling to keep them out. I don't even want to think about that here. There's nowhere in America to run. if it was to happen. Judgment's coming to America, but you know, you're surrounded by water on the East Coast and the West Coast. You can go out through Canada if they'll let you in, and you can go out through Mexico down in there, get into some of them South American countries, but that, you know, they pray, they'll be praying. They have roving gangs. They'll be praying on every American and everybody that goes through there. It'll be a mess. Now, see, right now you have a lot of churches, including the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has been there all along helping these illegals with water and advice to get all the way through. And a lot of the Catholic churches, even in America, are putting them up. That's where they go because they're all Catholic. So a lot of them. You'll find a few Muslims in there, but they will all find refuge in the Catholic Church wherever they go. But when this thing goes, they're going to be streaming out of here faster than you can shake a stick at. It's just the way it is. And so when we talk about this, I mean, you think, well, it's going to happen to somebody else at some other time. Well, that's a good thought. You don't know the hour of the day. But one of these days, you may wake up to see this one standing up there. Now, I can tell you, Donald Trump is not the beast. Many people think he's the beast, but this guy's trying to make America great again. He's too hated to be the beast. When the beast comes along and his false prophet, they are going to fall over backwards to follow this guy, this person. Nevertheless, we are, I'm going to hold off right there. Because we got to take care of some of this. I'm trying to get this, we're going to have to get out of here. We're coming down to the final part, but we're going to leave off at Revelation 8. You know, it gets to the point when you try to get through this. I mean, there's just so much to consider here, folks. It's just astounding when you really think about it. And I personally, my family and Terra Towers go back a long ways in this country. Long, long ways. But this is not the America that I know. And when a preacher and his church can't even preach and have a video on Vimeo, that's a sad day. And it's happened twice. You get on YouTube, they do the same thing for other reasons to other people. We have liberals that have a lot of these big things, and they're using them to train Americans that you have no voice. And but see, the church needs to preach against sin. But if you read in the apostles, you can read the New Testament. They don't spend an inordinate amount of time beating people over the head about homosexuality, because there's a lot of sins here. And sin covers everything. And of course, they don't accept sin either. There is no truth. Tower and I were talking to a young Christian gal, young woman, and she was telling us about how the people she talks to, there's a lot of them, they don't, you know, there's no such thing as absolute truth. Well, that's another thing that they've been teaching in school for a long time. No absolute truth. They're going to find out. You can say all you want to, kids. You can deceive yourself till the cows come home, but one of these days, these cows are going to be able to talk, and they're going to talk just like Balaam's ass. They're going to tell you, you've been a fool. because we know who the God is, and he's standing right over. That's his angel over there. And he's turned me three times, and I got in his way so he wouldn't kill you. But you can ask him over there. That angel would have killed Balaam. Too bad some of our animals don't talk today in an audible voice to tell how foolish we are. And when I look at the animals and when I look at the humans, I begin to wonder who the higher species is. And less do I think that human beings have the ability to be the higher species. That's because of sin. Now see, the higher species, however, they see everything. Oh, God, they just, we're just perfect. There's no absolute truth. We're going to have robots. We're going to have robot warriors. We're going to have them working in the factories. We won't have to do anything except sit on our butts and do nothing, and they will provide for us because we've got it all. Even AOC, that young gal out of New York that got hired, that everybody loves so much. Well, not everybody, but she's popular. She was saying how great it'll be to have robots working for us because we can rest more. You can tell she doesn't have a light on. You know, these people don't know. Father, thank you for your word and help us to be smart here. We need your revelation, Lord. We need your mercy. We need to understand. But our understanding sometimes is not what it should be. But those who want to hear, Lord, those who have ears to hear, help them to hear and help them to draw close to you in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from this preaching, teaching, streaming of this word tonight. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay. You know, I was thinking about the first part of that when you talked how they've perverted the word of God. And when Jeremiah was talking to him, that's what they've done today. Yeah. They're doing that today.
Yeah, it's amazing how you can take Jeremiah and Isaiah and the others and it applies to us, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like these teachings. I'd like to see America wake up.
Me too, man. I'm one of the first ones. I may preach it, but folks, I'm all ready for that big revival.
Yeah, I'd love to see it, but
it ain't going to happen. But I'm ready for it. Go ahead if you can do it. You know, go ahead, man. If you want to preach on homosexuality, you just do whatever God puts in your heart. Don't do it in the flesh. Do it in the spirit. Be anointed of God.
Yes,
every
amen.
Christian needs to be anointed of God, folks, today.
Amen.
You need to walk in Him, my friends. Don't take anybody's word for it. Get into the Word. Seek God. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. Do you believe that?
I do. I know it.
Yep, I believe it too. We've got to get out of here, folks.
Okay, good night, everybody. We love you. We pray for you. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar for the part two of Habakkuk. Stand watching, embracing faith. Good night, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7, it's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows, so we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at bmwnyc.com. BMW of Manhattan, driven by more.